Singer and songwriter Patti Scalfa's new album is a collection of songs that focus on the long-term enduring relationship and the terrain that couples cover over the years together. The CD is called Play It As It Lays. The title cut of Play It As It Lays includes a plaintive accompaniment on Hammond B3 organ way in the background. It's played by Patti Scalfa's husband of 16 years, Bruce Springsteen. Patti Scalfa joins us from their studio in New Jersey. Patti, thanks so much for joining us and welcome to the program.
Thank you, Leanne. Thank you for having me.
Play It As It Lays, I think a lot of people recognize it as the title of a piece that Joan Didion wrote. And here you are. Playing this rather laid-back ballad with the title, does Joan Didion have anything to do with it?
Well, first of all, I'm a big fan of Joan Didion's writing. But if you look at the idea of this record was to go into the complexities of a long-term relationship. You know, I was a child of the 50s. There was the idea that love is a simplistic promise of completion. Right, that you're going to find a missing half, your lost twin, your soulmate. But I don't think that you can look for something external to really complete you that way. It can make you more than what you are, and in a spiritual way, is what I'm saying. In a spiritual way, I feel that my marriage has really broadened me and certainly given me a sense of some completion, but that you can't really look for that. And if you're looking for that, you're going to be disappointed. I'm just going to play it as it lays. And so that idea that somebody is perfect and is going to complete you, I think is a young romantic notion. Not that I'm against romance. I love romance. But it's too simplistic. And the idea to go into the natural conflicts of a long-standing relationship and see what they are and try and dismantle them or shine a little light on them for yourself so you're a little freer and you're free yourself of cliches of men and women and the things that can come and weigh down a relationship. You know, you just want to go in and clear them up, sweep out the garage, you know.
Take a look at me. Mother, brother, sister, lover, wife, a friend, a confidant, an angel, or just a fool in the end. I was thinking the books and poems that I have read in the bell jar. What she meant and what she said, is it all just have literary references. Can I ask whether
can I ask whether
Sylvia Plath's The Bell Jar happened to be open on your desk?
Well, it's funny because when I was making the record, I knew I was writing a real woman's record, and I was trying to, in that song, I think that's from my song Cry, like any woman would,
yeah.
Right? And I was trying to bring in references that were very classic but also could a little tongue-in-cheek, you know, and the bell jar, is it all just written down in blood and lead, that idea of a fatalistic point of view, which I find very compelling.
Do you? As a woman, do you find that compelling?
I think as an artist, I find it compelling.
Interesting.
There's just more in there.
Yeah, wonderful images of women. Although Sylvia's a little bit depressing there, but you know when.
Yeah, but she's so good.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was going to say. It's she outlasted herself.
Cry.
using those reference in the song like any woman would also brings up a time when women really didn't have a lot of power in the rock and roll, in the music industry. And, you know, you've got the Dulangs of the Chiffons. And it just brings back that era, which you're of an age to have listened to, at least.
Oh, I did. Dulang. And I heard that on the radio, on the Chiffons. He's so fine. I heard that on a transistor radio that I held in my hand when I was on a bicycle, when you used to go out and just ride around the neighborhood all day. I was probably 8 or 9. That was my introduction into the dream of music, that music could take you someplace else and there was another world, rich, I don't know, rich with emotion. And it just lit that match, you know, that little candle that's too young to be lit, then you reach a certain age and it starts getting lit. That's what that was for me. Shirley Moore down in where that's my name, spinning down the road with a fistful of flames. From the mouth of the devil, hands of paradise, under the cold hard blood of magnesium lights. Run, 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 yeah, run, 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 yeah, run, run, run.
You even got a kind of a drag strip song in here. I mean, run, run, run. Come on.
Shirley Muldowney.
You are really a Jersey girl, aren't you?
I am. Yes, I did grow up here. Well, we were taking our kids to this, I think it was English Town, the raceway out there. We would take them every summer, and they had this fantasy robot. He was huge. He was 3 stories high that they'd built, and he would spit fire, and we would, Robosaurus, that was it, Robosaurus. And then we'd always go out to the racetrack when the kids were little and take them to see Robosaurus. And when we were out there, I really didn't know anything about Shirley Muldowney, and I started coming across the speakers that this is her last race, and you know, they were celebrating her whole career. And I asked my cousin who was with me, and he started, "Who is Shirley Muldowney?" And he was like shocked that I didn't know, and he started filling me in on all these details. So I said, "Wait a second," and I got a beer napkin, and I started writing down things my cousin was saying and also writing down things that the announcer was saying. And then I went out and I Googled her and wrote the song.
She's the greatest female race driver of all time.
Yeah, how fantastic is that? In an age where it couldn't have been that kind to women who were trying to excel in that. Shirley Moore,
and there are some terrific women influences that you can hear in this, in your voice too, but and in the writing. You know, you've got people. I hear Dusty Springfield. I hear Ricky Lee Jones.
Dusty.
Dusty in Memphis, I bet, is a favorite of yours.
Dusty in Memphis, a big album for me. And when I started recording this record, and I had Nils Lofgren and Steve Jordan and Willie Weeks, brilliant bass player, and Cliff Carter, did I say him? And, and then Bruce was in the studio too. I don't know if he was playing on that day. I think he was just listening and keeping us all company. And we put down a few tracks, and we said, "Ooh, this is coming out a lot more rhythmic and with more groove than my other records." And then Bruce said, "Oh, you should go back to Dusty in Memphis. That's the kind of record you're kind of making."
An ordinary heart. And I thought that I was strong, was necessary for me to learn that I was wrong. The word is out.
When we started putting the basic tracks down, I wanted to keep it without a lot of layers on it. And since everything felt very organic to begin with, and the players had already played the rhythm section, we didn't have to go back in and create or overdub drums or this or that, that the album was a very easy album to make, and it was pretty economic. We just came in and just, when I had free time, because there's a lot of time restraints just on, you know, I was touring with the Sessions band. And at the time, so whenever I have a few days off, I'd come in the studio and record this record.
Bruce is touring now, and you're going to wait until next year, so you're going to kind of trade off a little bit?
I'm going to see on our few months off if I can do some kind of live performing, because, first of all, this material is fun to play live. I think it's pretty easy to play live. Yeah. And try and fit it in, but, you know, I'm out with the E Street Band now, and I just took these 2 days off. I missed Albany and Pittsburgh to get our oldest son, Evan, just to get all his college stuff together, basically.
Man, you got some plates, dinner plates juggling on top of poles there, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Well, good luck balancing everything. You know, you're really
Thank
in
you
the
very
thick
much.
Of it. And it's a terrific CD, so I wish you all the luck.
Thank you.
Patti Scalfa's new CD, Play It As It Lays, is on Columbia Records. This is NPR's Weekend Edition, directed by Ned Wharton, with production help from David Rector, Christine Arrowsmith, Laura Krantz, Dave Nagaris, and Rebecca Martinez. Marcus Rosenbaum is the senior editor. The senior producer is Robert Molesky. Our technical director is Burke Hahn, with audio engineers Ted Mebane and Drew Reynolds. Key Molesky is our reference librarian. Our theme music was written by B.J. Lederman, with additional music from Greg Smith and Steph Scajari. I'm Leanne Hansen.